controversial tariffs could become official today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. More than 100 GOP lawmakers sent a letter to the president yesterday urging him to reconsider his proposed tariffs on steel and aluminum. But the White House says it will go ahead and make its tariff plan official as early as this afternoon. We're hearing there may be an exception made for Canada and Mexico, but that doesn't spare other U.S. allies who are pretty mad. The European Union said it would retaliate with tariffs on a long list of goods from American motorcycles to bourbon. Chinese steel, ironically, would be less affected than steel from our allies because the U.S. already has tariffs against cheap steel from China. And that's one reason why some economists argue these tariffs are missing the mark. Chris Farrell is a senior economics contributor for Marketplace and joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
The point of the tariffs on aluminum and steel is to protect and support U.S. suppliers of aluminum and steel. But you argue, as do some economists, that it is a distraction from a different trade fight that we should be thinking about.
That's right. So if you think about aluminum, steel, these are not the industries of the future. The trade concern involves intellectual property, artificial intelligence, autonomous driving systems, digital data. This is where the big trade fight of the future is going to be held.
Well, these are the industries China has said is it's explicitly targeting. The Chinese government got a lot of attention last July when it announced its goal was to create a $150 billion artificial intelligence industry by 2030. So, as you say, China's focused on industries of the future, and here we are talking about steel. You think we're missing the boat?
I think we're completely missing the boat. I mean, China has mercantilist high-tech ambitions, and it's hindering foreign competition in the Chinese market. They're stealing intellectual property. It's protecting its high-tech industry on a massive scale. So China's mercantilist high-tech approach, it challenges this rule-based, market-based international trading system. And to defend that system, which U.S. companies, U.S. high-tech companies have flourished, the U.S. needs allies to support, to defend, to maintain, and at the margin, renegotiate this international trading system that is not mercantilist, but is based on freer trade.
I mean, is that going to happen? How are we doing with our allies? Is this even a priority for the administration?
This is why this whole approach on steel and aluminum that's gotten everybody upset is just going in the wrong direction. We need allies more than ever. And what the steel and aluminum tariffs are doing is alienating our economic allies.
All right, Chris Farrell, Marketplace senior economics contributor. Thanks. And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up barely. Dow futures are down 0.3%. That's 82 points. S&P futures down less than 0.1%. NASDAQ futures flat. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.88%. Not long before White House economic advisor Gary Cohn announced his resignation on Tuesday, President Trump told a news conference how he feels about disagreements.
I like conflict. I like having two people with different points of view, and I certainly have that. And then I make a decision. But I like watching it. I like seeing it. And I think it's the best way to go. I like different points of view.
Fostering multiple views around you is not an uncommon strategy. It's used by leaders in business and in politics. But there can be a right way and a less right way to do it, according to people who study conflict management and negotiation. One of those people is Jeff Weiss, president of Lesley University, who now joins us. Jeff, thanks for talking with me.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Is having a group around you with multiple views sort of a tried and true approach in business? I mean, Ray Dalio, he's head of the biggest hedge fund in the world, Bridgewater. He's famous for presiding over meetings where conflict is encouraged.
Well, having had leadership at West Point for over a decade, I think the best leaders have people around them that have diverse views, diverse styles, diverse perspectives. I think the grist for good decisions and the grist certainly for creativity is different. How you manage the conflict among the people is a different question, but having different views is critically important.
Well, what is the right way to manage conflict productively, and what's the wrong way?
Yeah, well, I think the wrong way is to have a group of people stake out their positions and try to, you know, support them with lots of data and make strong arguments about why they're right. The leader doesn't learn nearly as much as the alternative way, and I think in the end, people end up feeling like, some have prevailed and others haven't prevailed, and probably no one really feels fully understood. That is, very different than trying to extract from each person, okay, you have a perspective. First of all, share the data and logic pattern underneath the perspective. You have a solution, share the objectives beneath the solution, and focus more on the differences of people's objectives, people's perceptions, people's logic patterns, et cetera. Then you can use them often to come to a better truth than any one of the individuals have, as opposed to saying, I like your idea over your idea.
Do you have any advice for the president on how to manage conflict in his administration?
First and foremost, if you want to keep the team that's around you, then I think probably changing the dynamics make a big difference. I think the inherent catalyzing of conflict among people and having personal battles of who's right and who's wrong is not going to end up really for any leader with a team that stays in place over time. Secondly, ask different questions. I would probably not be asking the question of what's your position paper or why are you right? I would be asking questions about what's your logic, what's your reasoning, what are the objectives, where do you think you might be wrong, what do you think you might be missing? Because I think the any leader will end up with better information that way and make better decisions themselves. And I guess the third is just to think carefully about, we send a very significant message to other leaders about how we interact with one another, and the president's a model of how we do that.
All right. Jeff Weiss, president of Lesley University, an expert in the field of conflict management. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.